Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
But it says that the Eagles and Jags are both interested in trading for the trade rights of Calvin Johnson and trying to pull him out of retirement. I mean, that's fake, right?
I don't think it is. I mean, Johnson's still young enough. I saw something. I didn't, obviously, being where I am, I didn't check Twitter a ton, yeah. But I thought I remember seeing something.
I mean, it's not a cut and dry that the line, you know, he'd have to agree to come back and the line, you know, for the Lions to trade his rights, and it's not going to happen.
Yeah, okay. He was spotted getting on a plane to Philly.
Has to be going to play for the Eagles, because who the fuck goes to Philly?
Maybe it's a throughway. Maybe it's a throughway to Pittsburgh. They are in the same state.
Could be.
Yeah.
A three-way to Pittsburgh. That sounds like jacking it in San Diego.
That sounds awful. Even Pittsburgh can't make it.
It's like 18 miles to Memphis. Jacking it in San Diego. Three ways to Pittsburgh.
I found my thrill. On Blueberry Hill. On Blueberry Hill. When I found you.
What's up, Houdat Nation? And thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a 1. Got me a Catahoula Common 6-pack that I'm working my way through. Now, I'm going to say this was not the most exciting game, but it was a win. And we all knew it was going to be different than what we're used to, because the Bears came in with a strong defense, a solid running game, a combination that would prove to be a challenge to this year's Saints team. As in any game, there's a few areas for improvement, and we'll talk about that, I'm sure, but some of the highlights we should acknowledge first is that the Saints are now sitting solely on top of the NFC South at the midway point of the season. The Bears have not won a game in the Superdome since 1991. Drew Brees joins Peyton Manning and Brett Favre as the only quarterbacks to throw 6,000 plus completions. Almost said interception. And Marshawn Lattimore had only 2 passes thrown in his direction. One was deflected and the other was an interception to ice the game. So put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I'm going to go with a Peter Pan. I'm covered in pixie dust.
Oh, I thought you stopped. I thought you'd stop doing that.
Right? I only do it like...
Man, I ain't done pixie dust in, about 15 years, I think.
I only do it once a year and in Florida, because Florida. Back in the hotel room after a nice long day. This is day number 3. So still not at the halfway point, but feeling good. Had a lot of good food and wine over at Epcot today.
That's good.
Got to ride a bunch of rides. Yeah. So feeling good.
All right. Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
I'm ecstatic, Jeff.
Hey, I wonder why.
Love the season, man. Everything's going great.
All right. Well, let's talk about the Bears game and the game recap.
Oh, when the Saints go marching in. Oh, when the Saints go marching in. I want to be in that number. When the Saints go marching in. Oh, when the sun...
Probably closer than the score even suggests.
Yeah, see, I don't know about that. I kind of feel that with... I kind of feel the score made it closer than it really was.
You think?
The Saints had multiple chances to just completely put this game away. And right. The 2 Ingram fumbles in the fourth quarter derailed that.
Yes.
All right, so let's talk about that.
Because I'm sitting, look, you guys were at the game. Like, I'm sitting here at the sports bar. I'm like, okay, if they can turn it into a nice, you know, unattainable for the Bears game, then like, okay, that's fine. Let's get it over with. But every time we're ready, nope, fumble. Up, oh, we're driving, we're in the red zone. Fumble.
Nope. Yeah.
I don't know. Look, Jeff, you said it in the introduction or whatever. The Bears are not as bad as their record would indicate. You know what I'm saying? Look, they gave Atlanta trouble. They gave everybody trouble. They're just not letting their quarterback loose. Maybe, and I know he's a rookie. I think they're bringing him along slow. But they do have a hell of a running game, and they do have a good defense. right? I mean, you can't, you know, and that's great. You know, in 1987, they'd be leading the league right now. But in this new league with the, you know, the passing offense, it doesn't work.
Well, that's what I kept, you know, telling Renee, like, if we ever got up to a big enough lead, the Bears right. aren't built to come mm-hmm. back and catch us.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why. Yeah, that last week, too, right? It was about getting an early lead and putting the game on Trubisky's arm.
That's right. That's right. Look, I told Doug all during the game, I said 20. I want to see 20, you know.
But you got it. But so the myth.
But he got it the hard way.
Yeah. Hey, that's however you get it. I mean, the Saints got a lot of lucky breaks, and the Bears got a really bad, unlucky break.
Ooh.
Too soon?
A little bit.
So right, I'll tell you what, let's talk about it because everybody wants to talk about it, right? Was it a catch or not? From you?
When I was at the bar watching it, it seemed like I was just like, yep, that's a catch, that's a touchdown, and like, shit, we're only up three now. Like, I was in that mode. Like, that was clearly a touchdown. I didn't think it couldn't be ruled not a touchdown.
Well, okay, well, again, like you said, Jeff and I were in the stadium, so we didn't get any explanation from the TV people or anything. So what were they saying on TV? Because I, again, in the stadium looking at the Jumbotron, that was a catch. Poor guy having destroyed his knee and held on to the ball.
Well, that's the problem. I didn't get to hear, I was at a sports bar, they were pumping up the volume to the Eagles game, so I could watch the Saints game, but I didn't get any of the sound from that, so I couldn't hear what they were saying. Mm. But after all the replays I saw, I just assumed, like, yep, that's a catch. I mean, it's not even close.
So, right, what was that's what I wish I understood why it wasn't a catch. I'm not complaining about it, but
apparently there's a rule, if you shatter your knee, it's not a catch.
I was going to say, like, you know what it was? It's his knee was down already. It was just the back of his knee. No, I mean.
And that was something else. Like, when I saw the first replay, because I watched it and I didn't see the knee thing, I was like, oh, shit, that's a touchdown. And then when they showed the replay and I kind of caught a glimpse of, like, oh, shit, his knee might be destroyed. I'm like, oh, no, I can't watch it. And then they kept showing. I mean, they must have showed the replay another five or six times. And I'm like, every time it comes on, I'm like, I can't watch the knee. I'm looking at
it. Remember the Jabari Greer knee that you refused to watch?
I still haven't seen it.
Yeah. All right. This is in that category. I don't know which is worse, that one or the Jabari Greer. This might be worse because Jabari Greer's goes. This one goes.
Yeah, I don't want to watch that. And people keep showing replays like, we don't want to see that shit.
It just doesn't go that way. All right, so I on the way home, I was listening to a little bit of the ESPN New Orleans radio on the FM with John Forcade and Gus Katniss.
100.3. Yep. Yeah, that's my go-to now.
I switched over on their commercials to go to Bobby and Deke. Wow, what a difference. I will say, Bobby was on the side of, it wasn't a catch. I'm sorry, you don't get sympathy points because your knee went backwards. It wasn't a catch. And he said, that's for the rule. The rules are the rules. But Bobby couldn't explain why. It's just, that's what it is. It's a catch. It's not a catch. John Forcade and Gus Katngill were talking about how, in their mind, like, it was a catch. They were like, at what point is it, like, what, they don't even know, like, what is the, nobody could explain what's the rule to make it not a catch. Are you supposed to hold the ball like one Mississippi, two Mississippi, and not let go? I mean, they said he rolled from like his stomach to his back to his stomach and then lets go with the ball or something. Like, how many times you got to roll over before you let go, before it's not a catch? So nobody understood. And then, but like I said, the game's over. It's done. I mean, the Bears got away with a few things too, like the face mask call. The phantom face.
Yeah, what the fuck was that? There was nothing.
Okay. I heard an explanation that they said that from the replay that we saw, at least in the dome, that it happened before that.
What? Oh, I see. What you mean.
Right. I mean, that was the explanation.
Or somebody else made a point that maybe sometimes, you know, the refs get their number wrong. They say 43, but it might have been somebody else.
Right, right.
On another. Oh, yeah, yeah. It definitely wasn't Williams. It was Vaccaro, if anything.
No one around who caught the ball or anything like that, just because no one's hand touched that face mask.
You know, that's obviously the big talking point in the game. But let's get back to it, because you went to the game. Why don't you talk about your game day experience? Did y'all meet up?
No, we didn't. Damon was a little running behind because he was had to wait for Doug.
As is, of course, the tradition.
You know, it was okay because we went in early and actually ran into Chad, who was sitting in like, what were we, 648?
Yeah.
He was probably in 650 or 651.
Okay.
Right there. So he walked over before the game, and we kind of wanted to also scope out where the pork nachos were and things like that. And then I also ran into Gunn, who was also in like section 649 or something. So I ran into
Wow.
Yeah, it's like everybody I knew was in that section except for Damon. Blaine showed up. He was at the game. Mike was there. Fuck the Falcons.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it from that group. Mezik showed up for a little while and left. You know, went and sat somewhere else. But so it was a nice, relaxed group there. A few Bears fans sitting ahead of us, or behind us, I mean, and they got loud when the Bears did good, and then they got quiet. I will say, watching the game with Mike, like sitting behind you and kind of like leaning over and you're making comments the whole time is really
he's
fun.
Like, he's like, you see how he says, yeah.
It's it's really fun. Mike is a fun guy to watch a football game with, I will say.
Yeah, he is.
Wisecracks left and right. It's like following Fuck the Falcons Twitter feed, except live and in audio.
I went down to Florida to do a little muff diving, and I took that laundry with me, never opened it from the fucking package. That shit wasn't even done. My underwear is every fucking thing, shit stains, the same as I gave it to you. The fuck is this?
But no,
that's what makes 648 great.
Yep, it was good. Well, I was hoping for kind of like a runaway win where we could all just celebrate and party the whole time. But I will say I like the fact that it's, now that we know we won, I like the fact that it was the nail biter coming down to the end where, you know, it's kind of like, why are these people leaving? There's still a chance that we could lose this game.
Well, okay. I mean, let me say a couple of well, after we stopped them on fourth down, everybody started leaving. Okay, now this is the fourth quarter. It's I don't know if we're plus or minus a 2-minute warning, but everybody starts to leave. And I'm like, it's still an 8-point game. They have two timeouts. Right. This game isn't over, retards.
Right.
So, you know, this game, you know, they act like it's over. And then we get a penalty.
But even Bears fans were leaving. Like, fans from both sides were leaving.
Right. It wasn't over. I mean, then we get a penalty which stops the clock, which gives them basically three timeouts. And I'm thinking, look, you know, we're not going to be able to we either get a first down or we're not running anything off the clock. We only got 4 yards, ran off 11 seconds, and kicked the field goal to make it 8. You're right. I mean, because it was only a 5-point game.
Right.
It was only a 5-point game, and they start leaving.
Right.
And I'm thinking, this game isn't over.
It's far from it. You know, especially the way the fourth quarter was going. I mean, we still owe them another fumble.
Right.
Or something, but, you know, like the whole thing. Like, Drew Brees, I that's one thing I will say. Mike kept saying throughout the game about, you know, Drew Brees is determined to throw an interception today because he kept accusing Drew Brees of, you know, looking downfield. He wants to go deep. He's got to throw his touchdown.
He did. Jeff, every fucking play, and he was killing me with it, every play. Boy, he looked downfield, and he had to take that shot. He wanted to take that shot because, you know, he made that little movement. And then he thought better of it and checked down and got
But he did it. Right. He was doing it and snap. You get aggravated he wanted, looking downfield, but why not? At least he's able to get away with the check down. And he made a right. I mean, we'd be complaining if he would have forced it and thrown the interception. We should be celebrating the fact that he didn't force it and took the check down.
Look,
he made smart decisions.
That Ginn long play,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm totally convinced Bree said, look, I'm going to take a shot. Fuck y'all. I have to take a shot. I have to take a shot downfield or I don't feel right.
It was a risk, but it did. But the reason it was a calculated risk was it was a linebacker and a safety. Maybe if it was a cornerback and a safety.
But Jeff, and I watched it on the replay too. Like he just chucked it. Like he was coming back. He was about to get.
He did not. Now look, Doug was getting on Bree saying that was an ugly pass, that he shouldn't have thrown it. But I said, look, man, this receiver is bracketed between two guys, and he hit getting in the hand.
He threw the dude. Threw the needle. Yeah. Maybe part of that is Ben running a good route. And you said, you know, I think Jason, you had texted after the game something about, you know, the problem, if you had to say something, is that our offense doesn't have the playmakers on it. I mean, aside from Breeze, of course. And that's going to be kind of a bit of a problem
It's like when you need, you know, against a good defense, when you need a good player to make a play. And look, Michael Thomas is very good, but I mean, you can't count on him. Like, he got
Kamara.
You put a good Kamara, kind of, but I'm talking about he's great. Like, just in the passing game.
Who did we have before? You know,
Colston.
Colston was.
Colston was always reliable on third down. When you needed a seven-yard completion on third down, he would get it.
And that's where we're missing. And he was in the game a couple of times, but he never got thrown to. Sneed.
I didn't see him once as I was watching.
He was because I'm looking and thinking, where's Sneed? Where's Sneed? Where's going to Sneed? And then I saw his little flowing blonde locks out of his hair. He was he was running. No, he was. He was in the game. I said, okay, there he is. So I mean, I agree with you.
Where would this offense be without Ted Ginn right now?
Hold on, but I'm gonna say, Damon, don't mistake every time you saw him for he was in multiple plays other than when you saw him. You happened to see him the four times he was on the field because
the stat
is that he only played four snaps in the Bears game.
Wait, that's it?
Four snaps. Yeah. He played.
I didn't see him all four times. I saw him once.
So you extrapolated that into he was in the game.
Wow.
You caught the rare Sneed sighting is what you did.
Right. And I said, okay, there he is. Movie. What's up with that? What's up with that? Movie. What's up with that? What's up with that? What's up with that?
The thing about a lot of the chatter on Twitter was that, oh, Sneed is the first time all season completely healthy, wasn't on any injury report. He is good to go. Okay, they're going to get him back in.
He's been gone 6 weeks, essentially. You know, the four weeks he was suspended. You know,
but he played. He was active 2 weeks ago.
And he didn't do anything then.
We're going fine. Why put him in and risk, you know, why rush him back if he had the tweak of it? Look, I'm never going to.
His was a hamstring?
Yes. I'm never going to.
Some people don't come back from hamstrings. They're never come back fully. So a hamstring is one of those injuries that could nag you forever.
Right. So if they want to slowly work him back in, I don't have a problem with that.
Okay. But thank God for Ted Ginn.
Oh, no doubt.
I tell you what, best offseason signing. I mean, this is such a great decision.
Jeff, I remember you asked, why the hell did we sign Ted Ginn?
And I love being wrong about it. No, I'm not. I was about to say, I might buy a Ginn jersey. I'll wait till he finishes playing.
There you go.
No, I'm not buying a Ginn jersey.
But anyway, you know, the funny thing, I'm sitting there during the game, and it's like, you know, we stop him, you know, we hit him behind the line of scrimmage on first down, and it's second and 13, and they run the ball. Then it's third and 9, and they run the ball. And I'm thinking, these some bitches are really committed to the run. You know, I said, wow. I said, they are really committed to the fucking, you know. Sean Payton could never do that. You know what I mean? His head would explode. I mean, Sean Payton could have Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, and Emmitt Smith back there. And he couldn't run it. No. And they would run it, you know, first and 10. Oh, you lose a yard. All right, fuck it. Run it again. You know? Third and 9. Fuck it. Run it again. All and right. then, hold on. But before we get out of game recap, this is. All right. Did y'all notice this? I was so frustrated at the fucking game, and I'll say this. Fuck Dennis Allen.
Mm-hmm. What?
How many times on third and long did we fucking bring all pressure and the Bears picked up a long third down?
It did seem like we couldn't get off the field a few times.
Three times.
Okay.
Three times we brought all pressure. Yeah, no, you're right. We brought all pressure, on third down. The first time we did it in the first quarter, it worked. We got a sack. We got that sack. And then after that, it cost us nice third down opportunities. You know, one of them was with, when we had them within the 1 yard, 1 or 2 yard line. And again, we bring all pressure. They block it well, and boom, you know, goes for 50 yards. And it was frustrating. Very frustrating for me to watch.
It was a tough game. Let's just go right into looking at him tweet.
I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans.
I'm going. All right. First tweet comes from Greenbaum, actually. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. Now he's participating as a tweeterer, and he says, "Hi, my name is Kenny Vaccaro, and I like to lightly jog after quarterbacks as they scramble for a 50-yard game." And I saw the same thing. It went on that Trubisky 50-yard scramble on the replay on the dome. It looked like Kenny Vaccaro was just kind of jogging, like, you know, like, what are you doing? Why are you not chasing this guy down?
I believe it's jogging or yogging. It might be a soft J. I'm not sure, but apparently you just run.
I mean, did y'all see it? Did you think that, like, he didn't have to get those 50? We could have stopped him if somebody would have tried. I don't know. Maybe I just saw a bad angle, and there was no, and Vaccaro knew that there was no way he was going to get him from where he was, so he was just kind of jogging. But
it's possible. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's hard to pick and
I don't want to pick, you know, one
to pick
a car
right here. To pick out one play, like, he's been playing pretty well.
You son of a bitch!
That one goddamn play, you fucked one goat.
Right. No, yeah. So, all right. Vetti comes in and saying, and this is talking about, nice to see us winning in different ways. I can't remember the last time I've seen it. Not just shootout wins, but close, low scoring wins as well.
Yep.
Wait until Dalton Bro comes back. More depth for this deadly secondary. That's from Betty 11.
Look, Breeze didn't throw a touchdown this game. I think that's the first time we won a game with him not throwing a TD since 2009.
Yep. How about that?
That's a kind of crazy stat.
It's nice.
And yet, look, it was ugly, but they found a way to get the win.
Right.
You know?
It's what we've been asking for the last 3 years. Those, you know, those close games that we just are on the wrong side of because we couldn't overcome these little things. We're now on that correct side of it.
Well, and you know, at the end of each year, like, good teams, they win those games.
Right.
You know, so if we're a good team, this is the type of win that we're going to get. So,
right. This is right. Now you're 5-2 at the midway point. So even if you go,
well, we're not midway even, points next week. We're not there yet.
You're right. Okay, sorry. So
I know you're overlooking Tampa. And that's okay.
Yeah. So let's say we're 6-2. Even if we went 500 in the second half of the season, that's 10-6 right there.
Yeah. No. Look, and to echo your point, I guess next week is a in my opinion a must win, because if you look at our schedule going forward, you know the. This is the next week is the easiest game we have left on the schedule. The Bucks coming to the Dome. After that, it's at Buffalo, who's playing well.
That's gonna be a tough
that's,
game.
That's a hell of a game. And if we have to lose any game, might as well lose that one to the AFC. Anyway, then we have the Redskins coming to the Dome. Yeah. There are no pushovers. Mm-hmm. Then we go to the Rams. Who the fuck thought the Rams are going to be?
Right,
what the fuck
right,
they
the
were?
Rams are five
and that's
two,
an important
right.
game because it's a. It's a division leader, you know, for playoff position. We want to be back. Yeah, then we have the Panthers coming here. Then we go to Atlanta. Then we go to the Jets. Now, maybe by then the Jets will have packed it up, I'm hoping. You know, then,
right,
then
the Atlanta, Jets are playing tough, but yeah, they could
right,
be.
Right, then Atlanta comes here, and then we go to the Bucks for the final game. Now, again, this week coming up, Bucks here. That's that's the last game,
the game
that, I'm,
supposed to...
that I'm willing to look at and say, okay, we should win this game. You know, Ned, to tell me another one that you think we should win, you know?
Right.
I mean, we should beat the Jets. I know the Jets are playing tough.
I mean, I know what you're saying, but here, tell me the one that you'll put your house
should.
On. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
the Redskins, no?
Well, I think
the Jets and the Redskins are inferior teams to us. I agree with y'all, but they're tough teams.
Yeah,
just like the Bears.
Right.
You know, like, you have to cut the mistakes
out. But damn it. But
you have to stop the turnovers.
But we should win. We're 6-2 at the time. That is a really good team. The better our record gets, the better we really truly are, not just because your record says it, but because you're good and you're winning these games. It does become to where, like, yes, you should beat even a tough Redskins because you are better than them. You should win that game. If you are who they say you are, you want to crown them? Crown them.
All right, look. First four games, no turnovers. Last three games, three against the Lions, two against the Pack, two against the, you know. So you got to cut that shit out. And look, the Bears do a good job as part of their regimen, you know, to strip the ball. I mean, they got Ingram a couple of times, but, you know, I don't know how you stop the turnovers.
That's uncommon. Ingram's not a fumbler. It does feel like every year
he fumbled two here, one against Detroit. You know,
he's not a fumbler, but he fumbles a lot. Wait, what?
Darren Sharper not a rapist. I mean, you know, he just has a lot of sex with unconscious women. I mean, you know.
Who Dat Chris comes in saying, Fleener, one catch for minus 1 yard. Why is this guy still on the team?
Well, you know what? That brings me into something that I wanted to bring up. I don't know if now's the time. I mean, I'm sure you've all heard the speculation, right?
Yeah, Jimmy.
Right, about Jimmy Graham. That Seattle wants to move him.
He ain't coming here. That's never going to happen. I don't think it's ever going to happen.
I don't think they're going to get rid of him, first of all, because it's tomorrow. And from what they were saying today, it's cap reasons.
Although they just traded for Dwayne Brown.
Dwayne Brown, right. But anyway, this is what they were talking about on WWL. This is what Deuce said. You know, Deuce said, look, his numbers aren't what they, you know, what they were here in Seattle.
With here? No.
And he, Deuce said, look, you know, that he thinks if the Saints would make a move for him, Deuce said that the player, he thinks that Graham could put that all behind him and and find his way back, you know, because he would think he would get those numbers again and be the superstar he is. Look, 4 years ago, it was Gronkowski and Graham. Who's better? Blah, blah, blah. It isn't that way anymore. You know, it's Gronkowski, Kelsey for the KC Chiefs, you know, and others. And Graham's not in the discussion as the best tight end in the league anymore. And just because of the way they use him. Not that, you know. I'm not trying to badmouth the man. But anyway, I guess my question to you is, would you have him back?
I wouldn't have a problem with us bringing him back.
Right. I mean, neither. I would actually, you know, I would actually like him a lot.
Yeah. I mean, Fleener's clearly a bust. Now, there was another play that Drew missed on a third down where he tried to go deep, like you were talking about earlier, and he actually had Fleener open that would have got the first down, but he tried to go deep was looking deep and it didn't work out.
But he didn't throw to Fleener?
No, he didn't. But it looked like he was open. He would have got the first down. It didn't work out. But
he wouldn't have got it. He wouldn't have caught it.
I mean, Fleener's an expensive mistake. That is a huge mistake by either Sean or Mickey, whoever made that decision.
Done and done. All right, next tweet. Coming from Sylvan Blondell saying, abysmal second half on the offense, trying to chew the clock, putting us in trouble until an icing interception. Shouldn't they just have attacked?
Look, I mean, okay. Look, that's the same thing I criticized the Falcons for last year when they lost the Super Bowl, when they were in the 32. I'm saying, you know, that, you know, they said, oh, we're in attacking style. Well, they got that sack and pushed them out of field goal range, you know. So I don't, you know, and I don't think we ran the ball the entire game. So I don't, right. I don't feel like we were running just to run the clock out. I feel like that we had a good running game the entire game.
That's the thing, Jeff. Now when we attack, it's through our running game because we don't have a ton of playmakers in the passing game.
I do wish they would have thrown it at least once because the Bears were expecting to run, and it's just about impossible, unless you're playing the Saints, to run when someone knows you're going to run.
Davis Douglas tweets, halfway through the season on the Saints, who is your, and then he gives categories, MVP, best rookie, most improved, biggest surprise, and biggest disappointment? Who's the MVP halfway through the season?
I think it might be
Kamara.
I mean,
Lattimore. It's Lattimore.
I was going to say Cam Jordan.
Well, Cam, you know what? You win. Cam Jordan. There you go. There you go. MVP Cam Jordan. All right. They're all going to get chosen. All right.
All right. Best rookie.
Lattimore.
Yeah, I mean, it's no question.
I mean, that's right.
Most improved.
Most.
Vaccaro?
I mean, maybe Pete, one of the linemen, you know, because they're doing a hell of a job and we're not hearing their names, which is always. right. Look, the greatest thing about a lineman, if you don't know who the hell they are.
Or maybe I tell you what, Will Lutz.
Okay.
Because he is pretty much, I mean, he was good last year, but I'm so confident when we're kicking a field goal, I am incredibly confident.
That's a good point.
That's a good one.
Throw a bone to the kicker.
That's a good one.
All right, biggest surprise, Will Lutz. No.
Kamara.
Definitely Kamara.
Right. That's why I didn't want him for rookie, right? Kamara. Yeah.
And then the last one is biggest disappointment.
Fleener.
You know what?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Even with the lowered expectations, he has found a way to disappoint.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell you who's kind of back to the surprise. I mean, I know Lutz was kind of we had Kamara as a surprise. I think Ted Ginn deserves to get some mention.
He's an honorable mention, no doubt.
Honorable mention.
Based on expectation, yes. That's what surprise means. So Ben Wright, last tweet of the night says, with Goodell being booed on the stage at the London game yesterday, when will he get the message that no one likes him?
I don't know if y'all saw the article about Jerry Jones.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this?
And 17 owners getting on a conference call, and Jerry Jones apparently is not happy with Goodell. They're trying to stop his extension for his contract.
And
want to get rid of him.
I did not know
that. Yeah, I heard it. I heard it on Ad Mike had the radio or Mike and Mike on at some point today, and they were talking about it. Yeah. Good. I mean, fuck Goodell.
You're not guaranteed to, as far as just going to get better. Of who they put in place after him.
Their remark is the way he's handled this kneeling thing. The owners, you know, don't like it because they're obviously, on a different bent. And then what, this kneeling and protesting is really costing, it's really hurting the NFL. It's, they kept trying to hew it away last year saying, that's not the cause of the ratings drop or any of this, but the ratings continue to drop. People are not showing up.
But I don't think it's limited to just that. I mean, I think it's everything.
No. This
is the one thing that's finally taking money out of their pockets.
Right.
To it, like the Ray Rice and all the other bullshit that Goodell mishandled. It didn't really affect the rating, and now you have this, which just speeds up, and people are actually not watching and boycotting and all the shit like that. Like, now they're actually seeing it hit it where it matters, and now they don't. Well, plus Jerry Jones got fucked over with the fucking suspension.
And
Ezekiel hasn't missed a game yet.
Right.
But, like, when Goodell does this bullshit to owners that matter, then things are going to change.
Right. No one was complaining when he was sticking it up our ass.
Yeah, nobody gave a fuck about old Tom Benson.
Mr. Benson played the good soldier for the league, but that whole Bounty Gate bullshit was just to stop the narrative of CTE, and all that bullshit. That's all it was. Player safety, my ass.
And then the reports came out, earlier this week or whatever, like Minnesota had a bounty program. And I was like, well, of course, everybody did.
Right.
It was a
pay for performance. It wasn't a bounty. They didn't say go out and hurt someone. No. Look, if you listen to the show,
it was a fucking witch search thingamajig.
Bring it back.
See what you did there.
All right.
I want to mention one more thing about Adrian Peterson. Did you hear about this? Adrian Peterson, because he was off this week because they just got back from London, he stopped by the Saints camp on Friday, before the Bears game. And he stopped by and took pictures and signed autographs with all his former teammates, And,
I saw he came by and signed a bunch of shit.
Class act.
Very class act. Class act by Adrian Peterson. I wish him very well in Arizona. I wish it worked out here, but we have a better system.
Okay, let's get into pick 'ems then.
Goodbye, Joe. We gotta go. Me on my own. We gotta go. On the pier or down the bayou. My boy, sweet boy. Me on my own. Son of a gun, we have big fun on the bayou. Jambalaya, crawfish pie.
bus tonight. I'm going to see my machete meals.
All right, so Jeff, you won the week at 4-1.
Damn right it did.
Hold on.
Damon went 3-2.
Hey!
Yeah, finally gets on the right side of 500, and I went 2-3. We all won Minnesota. We all lost the Bengals. Right. The two of y'all both won Pittsburgh. In Detroit, y'all both took Pittsburgh, and y'all won Carolina. Tampa, y'all both picked Carolina. And then Jeff and I took Houston. Damon, you took Seattle. So the three of us, Jeff's boosted back up again. He's at 23-15. Mm-hmm. Quite the record.
Yeah, very. Yeah,
I mean, I'm impressed.
Especially, I mean, you know, after week eight of the NFL season, it's pretty strong. I'm at 19-19 at 500.
There you go. That's about where we normally are.
Right. Yeah, I'm usually around. Yeah.
Okay.
And then Damon made up a little ground, but he's still sitting at 15-23, the opposite record as Jeff.
I'm trending in the right direction. I don't know if I can catch Jeff.
All right. In the larger league, this week certainly helped me. You know, last week I was only like up by one game, so now I'm up by three games over CJG at 20-18 and Wheels and Life of Ty and Hungry Hoodat. So there's a four-way tie.
And a Dolores.
But that, of course, was never published. Then Ed Hunt solely with a 5-15 record, and then comes the 500 records, which consists of Jason, Hoodat, Fitz, Triple D, Scott Greenbaum, Chris McGuire, Vincent Burke. Yep, you and Greenbaum are tied. And then you got, with a losing record group, in this order, Random Thought, Scott Waters, Jim Bull, Home Team, Near, Neil, Emmanuel, Ryan Guidry, Gerald Booty, Damon, Preston Allen, Doug, Dr. Hoodat, Miso Matt, Ryan Angier, Vetti 11, Davis Douglas, and EJ Pasternot. At 12-26.
All right.
Now
we are on.
Real quick, I will say there's four people. I did not read your name because you have missed 3 weeks in Pick'ems, and a lot of them it's been two straight weeks. So
yeah, come on, what are you doing? You know who you are.
That's right. If you want to get back in on the board, you're going to have to play this week.
All right, on to week 9.
It takes so long to get here.
NFL season, yeah. Oh, we're already halfway through. Like this week, we're already going to be halfway through.
Oh, are we going to be halfway through this thing?
First game. I mean, we got some interesting state of games here. The Denver Broncos currently losing at half to the Chiefs.
I take whoever they're playing. I take them.
Traveling to Philly to play the Eagles, woo! Who are now lead the NFC. I tell you what, there were a lot of Eagles fans in the bar I was at
in
watching
the
game.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
A lot of Eagles shit. So this game is in Philly, and they're favored by 7.
I take Philly. Philly.
So, yeah, I'm gonna take Philly as well.
I'm taking Philly.
Okay.
I ain't stupid.
All right, our next game, NFC South, Atlanta Falcons, coming off a close win against the Jets, travel to Carolina to play the Panthers, who went and beat Tampa on the road this week. Carolina is favored by 2.
I figured it was going to be something like that.
Wow. At home, really?
At home. Atlanta's still kind of, you know, because they were in the Super Bowl last year, I think they're getting a little extra favor with the gamblers.
Yeah, but they're still giving them 2 points.
Well, I mean, they are on the road, but they think Atlanta's a better team. I'll go first. Give me the Panthers. As much as I say it, because they're 5-3, I believe. I think that's they're 5-3.
All right. I'll go next, and I am going to take the Falcons.
Well, it'll probably come down to 3 points.
And I literally flipped a coin to make my pick.
I'm gonna go Falcons also. I'm gonna go Falcons.
All right. Our next game, we got an AFC matchup. The Oakland Raiders coming off a loss, travel to Miami, who also coming off a big time loss.
Oh my goodness!
On Thursday night, I mean, shut out for the second time.
Tell me what the points are.
It's at Miami, and the Dolphins are getting 3 at home.
What?
Oh yeah.
The Dolphins are +3 at home?
+3 at home.
Well, they did just lose 40-0.
40-0 to the Ravens. Yeah.
The second, no, to the Ravens, yeah. Second time they've been shut out this season. And they're getting, you said they're getting four or three?
Three.
What's going on with Miami?
They're on their third quarterback of the season.
I actually thought they might be trying to rush Jay Cutler back to start this week.
I mean, they still have a winning record. Like, that's what's the weird thing about it.
Yeah, I don't know how.
It doesn't make sense to me. I think I'm just going to go with the Raiders.
I'm also going to take the Oakland Raiders.
Well, fuck. I was going to take Oakland, too. Yeah, I mean, I was actually going to take Miami because you always take the home dog, but when I just convinced myself when I said they're on their third quarterback of the season. So yeah. So I convinced myself with
my own. Allow myself to convince
myself. Right, yeah, so I'm going to take the Raiders also.
All right, our next game. We actually finally got a good game. Kansas City Chiefs sporting a 17-3 lead currently against the Broncos. Travel to Dallas. Play the Cowboys, who beat the Redskins this weekend. This game is in Dallas. It's going to be the afternoon game of the week, the late game, and Dallas is favored by 1.5.
Oh!
Give me KC.
Because of the barbecue?
I'm with Damon. You giving Kansas City points? Kansas City is a fantastic team. I mean, any team with a 5-2 record is a fantastic team.
And I don't believe in the Cowboys, so.
Well, that's another thing.
All right, make it a Kansas City three-way. Totally different from a Pittsburgh three-way.
What three-way to Pittsburgh?
All right, and now our shooting game of the week.
You made me cry when you said goodbye. Ain't that a shame? My tears feel like rain. Ain't that a shame?
And this is a fucking shitty game. The Arizona Cardinals. Carson Palmer broke his arm, so he's out. So I think they're going with Drew Stanton.
And he was my backup to Aaron Rodgers in fantasy.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Traveling to San Francisco, the 49ers.
Wow.
Have not won a game yet this season.
Division game.
Division game. San Francisco today just traded for Jimmy Garoppolo from the Pats. Now, I don't think he'll be ready to. I don't think he's going to play this weekend.
Did they? What did they give up to get Garoppolo?
A second round pick.
I'd have done that.
Yeah. So Garoppolo's coming to Frisco. I can't imagine he's going to start this week.
No.
You wouldn't think.
Garoppolo. Anyway, what's the spread? What's the spread?
San Francisco's getting 2.5 at home. So Drew Stanton is favored somewhere on the road. I mean, what? I'll go first. Give me San Francisco and the points.
Whoa.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to take Arizona. I think San Francisco's that bad.
And I'm going to take Arizona also.
All right. Okay. That's
I suddenly feel worse about my pick.
Or really good.
yeah. Okay. So Jeff, you and I have selected everything the same.
That's right. You won't gain on me this week. You're going to remain the polar opposite. Everybody else tweet your picks in, retweet them if they don't record them.
That's what they call the Dome Patrol threesome.
That's going to bring us to the game Saints preview.
game three view?
Game three. Shit. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like we said earlier in the show, this is a game that you would classify as one that they should win. And they should win pretty handily.
Although we said that last week.
Tampa Bay does not have a defense, nor an offense.
Well,
nor
their defense has really sucked this year.
In fact, their fans are bad. Their stadium's getting old. The city's kind of lame. The beaches are not that great.
Jesus. their offense still scares me a little bit. They have weapons. Got Mike Evans, Deshaun Jackson. Now, Winston is dealing with the shoulder injury. So he's not really practicing a bunch.
I don't know, like, why, but like, maybe I'm just starting to feel the swagger and the confidence. But I almost look at it like I have a feeling like the Saints secondary and that swagger that they have, like, it's not the arrogant cockiness that burns you. It's the arrogant cockiness of, like, I think they're chomping at the bit to play against some talented people. Like, I think they want to play against a good receiving core, to your point.
Well, and that is one of the things that kind of worried me about the Bears game. It's like, I feel like our secondary has played better as of late, and they're kind of, like, the strength of the defense and the Bears aren't that kind of team. All they're going to do is run.
Right.
And, like, I'd be like, yeah, I'll try to throw it Lattimore's way or throw it out there. It seems like they've been playing a lot better, and that's where they begin the turnovers. And that's why it was kind of an odd matchup with the Bears. But, I mean, coming in next week, I mean they got Doug Martin, who's been playing okay, coming back from his suspension. But just, you know, I mean, they have weapons, you know. They still have players that can scare you. They can just score a long touchdown in any play.
Right. Did you realize the Tampa Bay's actually ranked number 2 in passing yards?
Well, a lot of that.
Yeah, losing teams have to keep passing to try to keep up.
All right. Well, the Saints are 4th.
Week 1 and 2.
Not last week.
They're definitely in disarray, and we are the better team right now. But it's still, you know, they still have players that scare you. It's not going to be easy.
This is, again, one of those things where if the Saints are who we think they are, and, you know, we were, like we said, I think last week, I said for myself, I went from cautious optimism to confidence now, and I'm staying in the confidence level. I'd like to get to cocky, but right now it's confidence, and I'm going to believe. It's hard to be vulnerable like that, especially with 3-7-9 seasons behind you, but I'm going to believe that this is one of those games that the Saints absolutely should win, and I believe they are going to win. Like, it's not one of those, I'm just a fan and I have to say it, but I really do think, like, there's no way the Saints are going to lose this game.
Okay. I like the confidence.
It's got to be there. I mean, this is a good team. We're a 10-6 team, at least.
Oh, no. Dude, if we beat Tampa Bay, basically, we have almost won as many games as we have for the last 3 years. halfway through the season, we've already almost matched our
right.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, we are going to be better than 7-9 this year. We will not be 7-9.
We have to. It's okay to believe again.
I agree. Again, even though the first 2 games of the season we lost, but we just need to clean up the mistakes. I agree with you, Jeff. But you need to clean up the turnovers. And when I say mistakes, I basically just mean turnovers.
Yeah,
just the turnovers. That's it. Not worrying about anything else but the turnovers. Breeze didn't have them this week, but Ingram did. So those two can get their heads out of their asses.
Yeah.
Last year at this time, Shitlanta was 4-3, which they are now also. And they made it to the Super Bowl.
So we have a better shot.
Well, I mean, record-wise, but yeah, you know, I think we... you know, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, fuck Tampa Bay. We're going to whoop their ass.
All right, so what's your score prediction?
I'm going to say we're going to break the 30 mark again. Let me say 35-21.
I'm going to go 45-20.
Oh, wow. I'm going to go 27-17.
I'm going to say Kamara. You all talk about that Kamara game that's going to happen. I think this is it. This is going to be Kamara's game.
So how do you think, I mean... Look, you know, Ingram's still going to get the ball as the season goes along, but do you think maybe, like, this week Kamara just gets a shit ton of carries because of the fumbles?
No.
Or does he just say, fuck it, he's just going to go back to the well and it's going to be split the way it has?
They're not going to change. I mean,
we're winning.
Over it. That's why Sean Payton's the coach and the fans are not. You're going to take the ball away from the best running back you've got. And he's consistently gets you 3, 4, 5 yards per carry. 4 yards per carry. Let's go there. I mean, you don't take the ball away from him because he fumbled twice. If anybody's going to punish Mark Ingram, it's going to be Mark Ingram more than anything. Think about last year when he fumbled in the Kansas City. We were there. At the end of the game, he lost the game for us when he fumbled it. I don't think the man fumbled the ball the rest of the season. After that. Mark Ingram doesn't – he's going to take care of himself. But the reason Kamara, it's not going to be because he's going to get the ball more. It's he's just going to explode because Tampa Bay's defense sucks so much.
Okay, look, that'd be great if it happens. I want to be there when it happens.
Well,
You will.
That's going to conclude Saints Preview. Let's move into final thoughts there. Damon, you got one?
Yeah, let me, over the last couple of years, especially last year and then continuing to this year, there have been a lot of opposing fans in the Superdome. Now, Jason, you're a season ticket holder. Would you agree with that statement?
Yeah, it's been
okay.
It's been stunning. Like I haven't seen this kind of level like this year and last year.
Really?
Last year specifically was the worst I've seen in a long time.
And obviously now we all know how we started the season but now we're winning, and against the Bears it was still you could hear the chant in the dome, let's go Bears, let's go Bears, and hear the cheering when we're on offense, and so it's loud and noticeable while you're in the dome, but we're winning now. And so we were talking about it. I said, look, I think what has happened is that these fans who gave up their tickets, they saw that it could be a very profitable thing for them. New Orleans is a great city to visit. Who doesn't want to come to New Orleans? It's one of the destination cities of the NFL, and I think a lot of the fans are just selling their tickets just to make, I don't know how many games they're coming to, but they put it up there, and it's one of those, hey, if someone wants to pay me this much for it, hell, I'll sit home,
I'm going to agree and disagree. I think there's a little bit of that, but I don't think that's the majority. I think the majority is probably more people sold their tickets a while back, and I think a lot of those Bears tickets, Those Saints fans are starting to regret. Oh, I shouldn't have sold them so early. They sold them when they were 0-2.
Okay. That's a good point too.
They sold it to dry up. Yeah.
They sold it in the preseason first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. Jeff, I hope you're correct. I hope you're correct. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I think there is a big number of tickets like that where people have had Saints tickets for a while, and they're not going to get rid of them because there's a chance that they can make money on their investment. So they have their own tickets, and they also might have like 6 tickets up wherever just to sell. And I would think probably at the beginning of this season, they still sold a good number to those away fans. But I do agree with what you said in terms of, I think it's going to start drying up as we're better. You might get more locals
buying them up.
But I do think
right, the people they used it, right. It's always been the case. But they don't have local fans looking to buy them up, so they have to sell it to the opposing fan.
Those are all good points, yep.
All right, that's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there is the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
Dadgum.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Dumbo donkeys.
Good night, Hootat Nation.